Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Eventually, on the Ashley Fine Florist text line, Jason from Sangudo had to jump into the fray on naming what would turn out to be the documentary made on the Oilers 23-24 season, or at least so I thought. Jason from Sangudo says, Bob, I don't know what the Oilers season will be called, but the Coyotes will be Deliverance with Gary Bettman as a hillbilly number one and Ned Beatty as the Coyotes. That one comes to us from Jason from Sangudo. I have no idea what you're referring to there. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think the Coyotes, Alex Morello, he's going to do pretty well in this deal. We will tell you Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated 50 plus years. Check out their menu at royalpizza.ca. Stauffer recommendation, Mediterranean chicken. Brendan Escott likes the Texan. Reed Wilkins coming up at 6:48. He likes the meat lovers. John Shannon's our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling, you need to get it with no payment, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. All right, John, let's start with what is, and part of the reason why we discussed this is when we had Ron McLean on, we were talking, for me, two of the best documentaries made on the ESPN 30 for 30 series has been on, you know, the O.J. Simpson trial and everything that went down with that. Today, O.J. Simpson passed away. I think the majority of North Americans believe he was guilty and got away with murdering Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, but of course he was ultimately acquitted. The trial of the century. Did it change television, how it worked, John? You're a man of did we lose John? Is that what happened here? Oh, we've lost John, so I'm just rambling around. All right, see if you can work on getting John on the show here. What is going on, John? John, you're... I hate when that happens, but it's live radio. All right, you can text us. Just give me the thumbs up when you have John, when you're good to go. 78th, we do not have John. We've lost John. Oh, boy. Well, we can keep going. This one comes in saying... Again, text us 780-496-0063. Oilers documentary, Oilception, The Dream is Alive. That one comes to us from Nad Dog on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. Playoff worthy and playoff ready. That is the name of the documentary that's going to be made on the Oilers 23-24 season. Spaceman, I can't read your text, but it is intriguing nonetheless. Don't like that word. But it does. It was once used on Saturday Night Live. That's right, Saturday Night Live. Will Connor Brown play in the playoffs? I like his chances. Like his chances to play in the playoffs. 291. What's going on here? Okay. So you do not have him. Just to confirm, Brendan. Or
He's just jumping on the tie line right now.
Okay, he's going to go on the tie line? Okay, just give me the thumbs up when he's officially on the tie line, all right? We can make that happen. Thumbs up, he's good to go. We have John Shannon. Oh, boy. Okay, John. So we'll start with the fact that a documentary name for the Oilers 23-24 season. This, because of obviously we were talking a bit about The Juice today and the two documentaries, ESPN 30 for 30 style made on them. If, what's the documentary going to be for the Oilers for this year? If you had a name right now, what would it be?
Calming the Storm.
Calming the Storm.
Yeah. Because I think if you look at this season, the arrival of Chris Knobloch and his calming of everything that was going in and around the organization those first, 15 games, it calmed the storm, and this team became one of the best teams in hockey.
It is kind of remarkable because you don't think of a rookie coach necessarily being the most calm, John.
You usually think
that, you know, there's a new energy that comes in with a younger coach. But I don't think that he's certainly not rah-rah, fire him up. In fact, Woodcroft was far more animated prior to games. The players have all told me that. Woodcroft was also far more animated on the bench during the games, including with the officials, which manifested into some calls against the team in the first 13 games of the year. I think you'd agree on that. You talked to these guys at the league level. Jay had a reputation, didn't he?
Yeah. There was something to be said for that. That's right, Bob. But I look at, you know, you, I think you can interpret that title so many ways. You can interpret it in the dressing room. You can interpret it on the ice. You know as well as I do that when the team got off to that horrific start, there was lots of tumult in the office. Remember, this was supposed to be, Kenny Holland's transfer of power to Jeff Jackson, and it was supposed to be a peaceful transfer. So I think that, you know, if you put me on the spot, you needed a title, and the title was calming the storm.
There you go. Well, and Jeff Jackson played a huge part in Chris Knobloch. Jeff Jackson and Paul Coffey and Chris getting that job, and Paul Coffey has supported Chris in that role, and we know Paul is has a very unique role for an assistant coach in the NHL. All right, and I threw to you for a question, and unfortunately we lost you, so I'm going to circle back to the question. Did the O.J. Simpson trial of the century change modern television?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I mean, there were cameras in courtrooms long before O.J. Simpson. Where I think the television change occurred in and around O.J. was that Friday night of the Bronco chase.
Yeah. Do you remember where you were?
I was sitting in the same chair I'm sitting in now watching the NBA championship.
Yeah.
And watching Bob Costas do commentary with a box with Big Al's Bronco going up the 405 while the NBA championship game was being played.
It was really quite something. I was listening out in near about an hour away from Prince George in northern BC.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the spring season, and nobody could believe this thing was happening. What is going on? What? Like, and of course, everybody's automatic assumption as this was going down is this is a clear illustration of his guilt. And I want to switch a little bit of focus here and tie back to Jason and Sangudo because he's talking. Let's get to it. We're going to have Frank Cervelli on tomorrow. We had Elliot yesterday. A lot of stories around the Arizona Coyotes. You have your sources. The Coyotes are here tomorrow. Is this the last time they are going to be in Edmonton as the Arizona Coyotes in this incarnation?
It's halfway between maybe and probably.
Way to go on the limb.
Well, no, because and if you read everything that Frank and Elliot talked about or wrote the last couple of days, they also said not done yet.
All right.
And here's why. Gary Bettman made a commitment to Alex Morello for 3 years at Mullet. Well, we've only finished year two at Mullet. The problem exists now is that there was a real assumption that by the time year two came that there would be, you know, infrastructure and shovels in the ground and concrete being poured for a new arena somewhere in the Phoenix area. Well,
that has not come.
We're 5 years away, Bob. We're 5 years away from having a new arena of any sort in the arena or in that Phoenix area. So the question becomes, do you fish or cut bait? And I think that there's been a lot of pressure at the league level. And when I say the league level, from the owners back to the commissioner. I think that the commissioner understands the pressure and understands the issues. He's had pressure from the Players Association, who are now not union members, but business partners. And so they have to figure out whether to fish or cut bait right now. And you know, do I think the Coyotes are moving? Yeah, I do. But I'm not confident that it's going to be this summer or next summer.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think, now that's where the issue is are we going to wait 12 months to have this same discussion?
Based on practice today at Rogers Place, wouldn't be surprised if Connor McDavid does not play tomorrow night. Does he play Saturday against Vancouver?
Yes, I think he does.
So do I. That makes for bad radio.
Let me put it this way. I think he does if the Oilers beat the Coyotes tomorrow night.
Right.
If there's value in the game Saturday against the Canucks, I think Connor McDavid plays.
Arizona's a dangerous team. They've got depth scoring at forward. They don't have a lot of juice in the back end, but they can certainly make plays. Ken Holland, you talked about the transfer power, Ken Holland to Jeff Jackson here. This Matthias Ekholm trade that he made last year at the deadline, he had not made a significant high-profile addition, in my opinion, for 15 years, dating back to 08 when he got Brad Stewart for the Detroit Red Wings. He hit the home run in Ekholm, didn't he?
Oh, well, I still don't understand why Nashville got rid of Ekholm, but every time we talk about this, I say the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think it was a magnificent trade. I actually think to the point where it had ripple effect through the National Hockey League, because if the other team that was in real pursuit of Ekholm had received Ekholm in a trade, Kyle Dubas may still be the Maple Leafs general manager.
Wow.
Because the Maple Leafs might have gone farther than five games in round two. So I think that's how deep and important that trade was, not just for the Oilers, but for other teams in the NHL. The one thing I would say, the Brad Stewart trade was an interesting one for the Red Wings at the time. But for Kenny, it wasn't for lack of trying.
Right.
I mean, he tried constantly as the Red Wings coach or Red Wings manager to make differences to that lineup over the years. Marian Hossa became a Red Wing for a while to try to win a Stanley Cup, and it didn't work in Detroit before it worked in Chicago. There's lots of things that he's tried to do. He's always been aggressive, but he's also very practical, as you well know.
Yes.
Bob, he's a practical person, and he will combine aggressiveness and practicality almost every day when he's trying to make a trade or sign a free agent.
John, great stuff. We got to run. Thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Cheers. 6:47 in Edmonton. That's John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, Steve and Bobby and the staff at Legacy, they can hook you up, get it with no payment, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. Brendan Escott's going to have this day in NHL history. Reed Wilkins is going to do a crossover when we return in Oilers Now. Let's go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel. Explore Southeast Asia on a chartered river cruise next March. Call or visit newwesttravel.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
Oh, we can do that. I was talking to Randy for a second. But in 1987, Yari Curry and Marc Messier each scored twice as the Oilers beat the Kings 6-5, going up 2-1 in the best of seven first round series. One of eight consecutive wins. Edmonton going on to knock off the Kings, the Jets, and the Red Wings en route to the Stanley Cup final against Philadelphia.
Can't believe that they swept the Winnipeg Jets.
That was 85?
87.
That was 87, sorry.
Yeah. They were pretty good that year.
I don't even remember the Jets being in the Smythe final.
Yeah, they were.
I'm not doubting you. Trust me.
I was dating somebody, and her sister got married down in Calgary, and I wanted to watch the game. So when her sister went out and danced with the best man, I left the wedding and ran to a bar to go watch the back half of the Oilers and the Jets game. I was in the doghouse for couple weeks after that one. She was not too happy with me.
That was the first year of best of seven in the first round.
Yeah.
And the Jets beat the Flames. The Jets were the lower seeded team, though.
Now, was it 85 or 87 that Howardchuk got hurt by McCowan? Jamie McCowan cross-checked him and broke his ribs.
I can't remember.
Well, are you on Hockey Reference?
No, I'm on just the Wikipedia page for the playoffs.
Okay, well, sorry. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, Howardchuk scored in game one.
All right, so again, of what? Which series?
Jets, Flames, Jets.
Yeah, we would need to see. For some reason, I thought it was in 87. It was in that series that Howardchuk got hurt. Somebody will know that's listening to the show. All right, Reed, I'm going to make you really think here. Do you have a name for a potential documentary done on the Oilers 23-24 season?
The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, The Empire Strikes. See, that's my son would like that because Hudson loves Star Wars.
Yeah, I guess we don't really know, though, till the season ends.
It ain't over till it's over.
It ain't over till it's over. But, yeah, we got to know how the story ends before we can give it a title, I think.
Tell you what story needs to be still told here. Do they need to find a way to keep... if Dylan Holloway plays like he did last night with the speed, tempo, the pace, and that support role...
Yeah.
They got to find
that was
way.
A good game. I was pretty encouraged. I did think, and I know I played that clip with from Luke, and we'll have the full interview with Luke tonight. And Luke said maybe still a little bit of nerves handling the puck, because there was that one cross-ice pass in the second period that came to him, and he didn't quite corral it to get the shot away. But great job on the goal. I thought he was fairly physical, which is what they need him to be. So really encouraging. And the Oilers just need options, right? Like as many options as you can have to play forward once we get into the playoffs. And, you know, now Carrick's a little bit banged up, so...
It was 85 that he got hurt, Kovalchuk, because he only played three games in the playoffs.
That is that the year they were the second seed in the Smythe?
Yeah, they made it to the second round. The Oilers beat him in round two in 85, I'm pretty sure.
Because the Flames were 84 and 86 and 83?
Yes, 83, 84, and 86.
And 84 was the year Edmonton was up 3-1, and McDonald scored in Game 6 overtime.
And it went to 7, and they won 7-4 on home ice in Game 7. And then in, so in 83 they blew him out. They won in 5, including Semenko got a match penalty, and they ended up scoring 10 goals in that game, including, I think, 2 or 3 shorthanded down at the Corral. And then they went 7-84 against Calgary. Calgary 1-7 in 86. Then the Flames finished ahead of Edmonton in 88, and everybody was like, oh, Edmonton's dynasty is done, and the Oilers smoked them in 4 straight, Gretzky overtime.
Still my favorite goal of all time.
Sure, in Game 2. And then in they didn't play in 89 because the Oilers lost to L.A. In 90, the Kings beat Calgary. Yeah. They went
and
in 91,
one of the greatest series of all time.
No question.
And it was in the first round.
I mean, the last two Stanley Cup champs.
Like a true... And at that time, that was kind of like, okay, this is probably it for these two teams.
Yeah.
And just incredible hatred, incredible intensity.
Awesome.
Calgary had the goal in Game 1 that went in, and the lining of the net kicked it back out, and it was disallowed. And I remember the next day, I think the Calgary and Edmonton Suns both had the blow-up of how it was in, and no video
Theron
replay.
Theron Fleury going nuts after scoring in Edmonton in Game 6. Flames were down 3-1. So, and then
and the Oilers were down 3-0 in Game 7.
And ticking and got them. All right, besides Luke, what do you got on tonight?
I had a good chat with Connor Brown today after practice. Everything from last night's game, he opened up a little bit about going through that slump. He opened up a little bit about living in Edmonton and the support he felt in the community while he wasn't scoring, even though it wasn't pleasant for him, and playing golf in 60-mile-per-hour winds.
There you go. Tomorrow, lots of guests tomorrow. For Conlon Motorsports, our throwback feature, George LaRocque. He's in town tomorrow. Daily Faceoffs, Frank Saravalli for Horse Racing Alberta. Racing returns May 4th, Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, go to thehorses.com. Louis DeBrusque for GCL Diesel, providing genuine diesel parts and turbochargers. Great prices at since 1972. GCLDiesel.com. I'm not on the panel tomorrow, so I got to enjoy tomorrow night's game with Cam Moon. We'll have a full preview of the Oilers and the Arizona Coyotes. Thomas Dias has a global news weather traffic update. Reed Wilkins up next with Inside Sports. Thank you very much to Kellen Kennedy and Brendan Escott and everybody for participating in the interactive elements to today's show. So long, everybody, from Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.